5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Hello and welcome to another Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott. Robin Christofferson's here as well. Hello, Robin.
Hi, guys. Hope everyone's well.
Oh, well, as well as we can be, Robin. Let's be honest about it. So how many weeks are we into this lockdown?
I want to say 3. It's yeah. All a blur.
It's beginning to get like a bit of a blur, isn't it? I don't know what day it is anymore. Is this Tuesday? It is Tuesday, isn't it? Yeah. Let me just be absolutely clear on that. Listen, Andy's here as well. Hello, Andy.
Hello. It is the 14th. So, yeah, it's been what feels like a month. I want to say a month of lockdown.
Yeah, I thought it was a month. But then, I don't know. I just cannot work out the days anymore. I think everything is just melted into a blur of I wake up in the morning. I stroll into the little office here. A 12-meter journey, if that. Not minutes, 12 meters. And then I just go off and, just do what I do. And then, I mean, the thing is, we had the long weekend as well. So I had a bit of time to relax and chill, although that didn't work out too well because I ended up watching huge amounts of television that terrified me.
And how
including
much?
Including, I might add, the movie Contagion, which, by the way, I do not encourage anybody to watch. It is terrifying.
We actually rented the movie Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman as well.
What's wrong with the pair of you?
I don't know.
I mean, I know we're all being told to stay at home, and now you're watching films that are going to convince you never to leave the house again.
But that's the thing, you end up watching all these movies. I mean, I watched Contagion, which was what Matt Damon, Gwyneth Paltrow's in it for all of 10 seconds. Spoiler alert. But it's a really good movie. And the thing is, if I'd watched it back in, I think it was 2011 it came out, I might have thought, okay, fine, or that's really far-fetched. But it was so accurate to today. It was almost as if it had been written last week. You know, it was so close to the bone in that regard. And they were kind of, I think they were mirroring, if I remember rightly, the SARS epidemic at the time. So, you know, that was the kind of the storyline, essentially, of it. But, yeah, utterly terrifying. Yeah, but don't watch it. But it is audio described on Netflix if you do want to watch it. Just saying. Hey, listen, speaking of audio description on movies, I was so annoyed because a lot of the big budget movies, and I know this doesn't interest Robin here at all, but all the big movies from the cinema, in particular The Invisible Man, The Hunt, I think Emma as well, the three kind of big ones. I think the new Trolls movie is coming out as well. Whatever that is. I think it's for kids. But yeah, that is that all appeared on various services. I think Sky, Prime Video, iTunes, they were all here in the UK. You know, they were the services that were showing these. You could rent them, and they were pretty expensive to rent. I think it was like 16 quid to rent the movie. But okay, fine. You would go to the cinema and you'd pay that, and that's the whole point. You're getting the cinema experience at home because the cinemas are closed, right? So, here's the thing. First question I ask is, do any of these movies have audio description? And for the first couple of weeks, no, nothing. But then last week, bing! I actually found, I was going through Amazon Prime, and I'd noticed that movie had actually appeared. I think it was The Invisible Man, which I quite fancy seeing, ironically. And
how does the audio description work on that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's nobody there.
There's no one there. But she's being thrown around the room.
Across the room.
Yeah. Someone who isn't there is throwing a tin of paint at someone who is there.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's going to be the height of it, I think. But yeah, so anyway, checked Amazon Prime and AD was on it. And I was quite surprised because Amazon and AD, wow. It was there. Checked a couple other movies, also had AD. And I'm noticing more and more of their catalogue having audio description, which is fabulous. Thank you guys for getting this sorted out. It's all because of Robin and I, you understand, Andy. Robin and I met, as you did as well. We met the guys from Amazon. So clearly what I said to them worked. I know you couldn't care less, but I care. And others care.
I care on your behalf. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have actually been watching a surprising amount of... Well, we're into kind of movie mode on an evening, and we never really do that, like once every couple of months. But yeah, last night we also watched Rise of Skywalker, which has now become available on iTunes. I'd pre-ordered that one. Obviously, that's the last one in the Star Wars installment.
Bored.
Yeah. But no, it's really good, actually. But what I did find out was that trying to, because I wanted to listen to it on my phone with AD through the TV app on my phone, and the guys were watching it through the Apple TV, trying to sync two copies of the same thing so that I don't get kind of doubling up of like echo or whatever is surprisingly hard. But it was worth the effort, because I really was very aware that the AD often spoils, like does spoilers many seconds in advance of the thing that actually happens. And, you know, I didn't want to subject the guys to the AD anyway, because they all can see. But that just made me doubly sure that, you know, what I was trying to do, this hassle of, because they kept on pausing it for people to go to the loo and stuff. So you'd have to like try and resync it again. Was worth it, because AD for people that can see, I don't think it's a very good, I know that for a lot of people it adds something, particularly because the AD person tells you things about, you know, that Admiral Hux came into the room, for example, and, you know, if you're not paying attention, you forget who that character is from a previous installment or whatever it might be. You know, it kind of gives you more information than you might otherwise have if you're not really paying attention. So there are some upsides to it that we get as VI watchers.
Have you ever tried it, Andy? Have you ever stuck a show on with AD and had a go at it? Because you can see fully, so...
Yeah, I remember doing this back with one of our original discussions not long after I started working with you, and it takes a lot of getting used to, because there's this other voice suddenly telling you what's going on, but you've also got to listen to the dialogue on the screen, from the film. So it does take a lot of getting used to. But then again, that's the case for anything like that. That's the case of working with Jaws, working with a screen reader like that, is you've got to get used to suddenly another voice in your life.
And the other thing that I noticed was that there was very severe ducking of the background sound effects. You know, they're having a laser fight and stuff, and they're kind of narrating who's doing... Not a laser fight, what do you call a lightsaber, you know? And...
Don't ask me. I have no idea.
Yeah. Every time the audio description comes up to say who's kind of about to swipe at who or whatever, that's the technical term. The audio of the film goes way down, I think much lower than you need, because I can then hear the TV's audio, which obviously isn't ducking because those guys aren't listening to AD, much more loudly, because obviously that's just at the normal level. And that felt a bit like they hadn't got the balance right there either, because where there's a lot of audio description, you're actually not really hearing the movie. So there's great long swathes where you're just hearing this guy in a relatively monotone voice. You know, he doesn't get excited when there's a sword battle or anything. You know, he's just same voice kind of thing, very matter of fact, and you can hardly hear the movie. So I don't think they've quite got that right. I sound really negative. Obviously AD is massive, hugely important. It just doesn't feel like the best implementation to me. I don't know.
I don't disagree. I think what you're experiencing is what we call in the business UK audio description versus American audio description, which is far tighter, far more verbose, some would argue as well. There's more conversation, more information comes through the audio description. Whenever you watch a movie, what did we watch the other night? I'm trying to think. Probably was a bit of Contagion, but there was something else we watched, which I thought the AD was amazing on. And you really would have not understood a thing that was going on without that level of verbosity coming from the describer. And that was American AD. I think it might have been actually the opening scenes of Contagion, now I think about it, because it was so, there was very little spoken dialogue at all. And really, if you couldn't see it, which we couldn't, then you would have no idea what was going on. So yeah, it does make a difference. But actually, to your point, Robin, it is interesting. If you Google audio description on ITV or on Channel 4 or something like that, the most common responses at the top are usually, how do I turn this off?
Yeah.
Because people maybe turn it on by accident.
Sitting on the remote.
Yeah. And then the next minute they've got AD on, and then what is that? Why does this person keep telling me what's going to happen in the show?
And why is she speaking Spanish?
Yes, yeah, you can do that on Netflix as well, if you want to just, you know, enhance your life a little bit. But yeah, anyway, look, aside all that, I hope everyone's keeping safe. We are still continuing to do the show from our respective homes. So, you know, we're keeping this going as long as we possibly can. And hopefully there's no reason for us to stop. We're all feeling good. Are we all feeling good so far? I'm feeling all right. Are you feeling good?
Yep.
Yeah.
Robin? Yeah, tip-top and in Bristol fashion. Yep, all good.
Excellent. Yep. Good, okay. Right, well, look, let's talk about some tech, because one thing I wanted to bring up last week, and we were going to, and then time got away from us. Nothing unusual there. We were going to talk about our Bose frames. Now, we haven't touched on this for a while, but the Bose frames got a bit of an update recently, Robin. And, well, you told me about it. I had no idea this update was even there. You got the update, so I think you need to tell people about what this new update of these frames can do. But I think before that, what I should maybe do is explain what the Bose frames are. So essentially, you've got a pair of sunglasses. And what Bose have done is they have built their own speakers into these glasses. So what happens is on the arm of the glasses, you've got these what they call down-firing speakers, which project the audio into your ear. It's not bone conduction. There are pains to say that. And as Robin and I can attest, it is not bone conduction. That could be seen as a negative. It could also be seen as a positive. I think my personal view is the audio that you get from it is brilliant if you're in the house. It's great if you're in a quiet environment. You can listen to, if in our case, it's voiceover on the phone, or it might be some music or a podcast. Personally, I think it's better for audio than it for spoken word than it is for music. That's just me. But, you know, I think that the audio quality is decent enough for that. It is good audio quality, yeah. But it's not the same as over the ear. So, you know, that's essentially what the glasses are. But they've had some nice updates along the way.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with the sound quality. I actually do use them out and about a lot. So for the first time in my life, I'm doing the kind of stereotypical blind guy thing with sunglasses on, and I love them so much that I've even gone out when there hasn't been any sun and even a little bit of rain, hoping that they're not going to die. I love them that much. But yes, if there's noisy traffic, then you have to crank the audio up, and above about 50%, other people are going to be able to hear what you're listening to.
That's the other thing, yeah.
If there's wind, then that whips the sound away. It's funny how, you know, easy it is to divert sound waves from the arms into your ears, but I love the fact that you've got nothing in your ears at all. So from a security point, you know, mobility point of view, once you've pressed that button on the arm to pause the audio, it's like you've, you know, your hearing is fine, your ears are not obstructed, and that's obviously good from a safety point of view. They've also got this really cool thing with the compass in the headset. So as you're using Soundscape, for example, and you move your head around, all of the points of interest that are being announced pan around as well. And if you've got a landmark or a beacon set up on a landmark, then you know, you can always be very sure. You're not having to turn your phone around or even get your phone out of your pocket to know exactly if you're heading in the right direction or where it is. So I love that. Now, they've utilized the fact that there is a compass in there for this new update, which after all this build-up actually isn't anything like major, but it's super cool, I think, because there's only one button on it. You can use it for play pause, you can double click it for jumping forward or triple click it for going back, that sort of thing. You can define what those do, but that one button, you know, there's no volume control on it, for example, but they've utilized the button and the fact that there is a compass so that if you hold the button down and turn your head to the left, the volume goes down, and if you do the same to the right, the volume goes up, and you can keep on turning your head ever so slightly until you get just the right place and then let go of the button. And that might not sound very much, but actually when you're doing it, it feels really cool to just hold this button and actually crank the volume up or down with twisting your neck, which I don't know, it tickles me anyway. And it was a really nice update, and it's nice that they are continually updating it. You know, the firmware gets updated from time to time and you get notified of that. Which means that they're kind of not neglecting the product or anything. And I'm going to be happy with these until I get my next pair of smart glasses that have a lot more smarts in them. But, you know, until then, happy with these, really happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're a voiceover user, as I am, and obviously you are as well, having the ability to just listen to your phone without having something in your ear all the time is great. I love my AirPods. I'll be honest, since I got the Bose frames, I've barely worn them because I just don't need them as much. The only reason I would put them on is if I really want to do some intense listening, and music is usually the thing for me that, and even now, I mean, I suppose even with all this, I mean, I'm not traveling anywhere anymore, so I'm not needing to have anything in my ears. And actually, I'm really enjoying using JAWS and voiceover with speakers, you know, out in the open. I remember seeing a tweet from someone years back saying, you know, working from home today and it's so nice not to have Jaws in my ear. Instead, I've got him in the room with me. So it's kind of nice, you know, it's a different environment. It's a bit more relaxing, I think. So yeah, I do quite like that. I do like the bowstrings for that because, again, it has that kind of that balance that I like. So you can be out and about, you can still have it in your ear, but not in your ear, if you know what I mean. It's in your head rather than your ear. So like you say, when you're crossing a road, you can be sure that, you know, you'll hear the bus coming, which is always important, I think. You know, I'm just putting it out there, but I think that's important.
I always have something in my ear. I'm not the sort of person who likes to have something kind of playing out into the room, even if there's nobody else in the house. So I've always got something in my ear. And I actually get little sore spots inside my ear from time to time.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that this has really helped with that. I don't have that anymore because they've had a breather. normally it was only really overnight and, you know, when we're having family mealtimes and stuff that I haven't got something in my ears. So that's really
it's not good for you.
I know, yeah. And they do say, I mean, you from time to time read articles about how much bacteria builds up in your ears if you've always got something plugging the hole.
You're going to develop your own virus if you keep this up.
Yeah.
But no, it's really good. It's a great thing. So yeah, I wanted to mention that because anyone who's got the Bose frames may not realize I didn't know because it didn't alert me to the update. It was only when I'd gone into the Bose app, which I don't go into that often, that you could find this out. And of course, the other thing that's really great about the Bose frames, again, not something I've really gone into in any great detail yet, I just don't have the time, but I will at some point, is get into the AR side, the augmented reality. Have you played with that?
So I'm struggling with that because the app itself, that Bose Connect app that you go into to kind of make changes to the settings, etc., has a link to the store where those apps are, and I haven't found one yet that is accessible. So there's a Star Wars app, various kind of nature soundscapes and stuff. So yeah, if you've found one that you can actually use, the irony there, you know, it's all about audio and it would be so perfect for us, but none of them in my experience yet are VO accessible to be able to just choose a soundscape and move your head around and kind of be immersed. But which ones have you had success with?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I haven't really tried it out at all yet. So I haven't really gone to... The only one I know of was the beach one. I think there's one where you sit on a beach.
There is, yeah.
But that's just a demo, really, isn't it? It's just a demo to showcase how it works.
It's still an app, and I haven't been able to get that one to work either. So it's not within the Bose Connect app, if you know what I mean.
Right, okay. Well, we must get into this. If anyone's got the Bose frames and has tried any of these out and found anything that's accessible, then do let us know. But we will continue to mine that. And if we find any good apps in there that are accessible, we'll let you know. Listen, coming up, we have got some interesting Google news for you. We will also be getting the experience of one blind American's thoughts on the Amazon microwave. Yes. Now, it's not here in the UK yet, so we're kind of teasing a little bit here. So don't go and try and order this as soon as you hear it and think, oh, that's amazing, I'm going to buy one now, because you won't be able to. It's not out here yet. But it will be, it is, I guess, coming soon. Although in saying that, did the other one ever make it here?
The basic
Remember
microwave.
Remember the second one?
No, so the one we're going to listen to is the oven, and that's got four different kind of features.
That's the new one.
It is the one we're going to hear about. But yeah, the basic one hasn't come over here yet, but they will.
Well, fingers crossed. Anyway, in the meantime, I want to introduce someone to the show because very interesting to hear that a lot of skills are being continually developed for the Amazon Echo, and I'm surprised this one hasn't landed on the Dot to Dot podcast with Robin, although I'm sure after this it may well, and so it should as well. Galloway Society of the Blind are very keen to encourage more people who live in Lancashire to know about what's going on in the charity and get access to things like talking newspapers and all of that. Now, of course, at this particular time, that is most relevant because we're in a situation at the moment, of course, where getting access to the latest USB stick that's got all your local information and your local talking newspapers could be challenging to actually get made and then sent to you. So a skill on something like an Amazon Echo device could make all the difference. And that is why we've got Andrew Coleman here from Galloway Society for the Blind. He's the Assistive Technology Coordinator, and he joins us now. Hello to you, Andrew.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing? You okay?
I'm good. So, listen, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. So, you've set up a... We don't call her by her name here. We call her Lady A, as you know. So, you know, we have to be very careful here because if we say her name, then she'll listen. And I don't want her to do that. But you've set up a skill for Lady A, the Amazon Echo device. Tell us what it is and what it does.
Yep. So it's a voice-driven skill for the Amazon Echo, and anybody can access it. And we developed this for our community and to outreach to other people as well. And it's all about delivering accessible information about Galloways, our services, information around eye conditions, our opening hours, events, things that are happening. But the thing that drove us to do it the most was our talking newspapers. We have a full range of talking newspapers across Lancashire and Sefton, and we also have our own monthly magazine called The Galloway's Eye. And whilst we send those out on USB stick and CD, and we you can get it online as well and iTunes and podcast catchers and things like that. We thought this technology. This is the new thing. This is the thing that everybody's using. Most people have got an Amazon Echo in the home. So wouldn't it be fantastic if we could deliver our talking newspapers to people and all they have to do is use the voice, to get that information. So that's where the idea came from. And this gets you all of our latest talking newspapers. So the latest current edition that we might have. So whether it be our Galloway's Eye, or it's our Lancashire Evening Post, Southport Talking Newspaper. The whole range of our newspapers is available via the skill.
That's amazing. So did you develop this?
Not clever enough. just so people know, it was kind of, some of it was in my wonderful thoughts and kind of, if I could have one thing for Galloway's, what would it be? And it was, I'd love to have an Alexa skill. But actually for as you might know, Stephen, for everybody out there, building one of these things is easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some wonderful, wonderful volunteers at Galloway's. We're very, very lucky to have a wonderful volunteer called Peter Gould. And he works in technology, and we got chatting to him one day, and I just said, hey, wouldn't it be great to have an Alexa skill? There was nothing in it. I wasn't trying to, wasn't trying to kind of state the obvious. Please make us one. Please make us one. wasn't like that. And anyway, a week later, he wrote to me and said, try saying this to your Alexa. I've just enabled it for you. Just go on your account and try it. And I did. And he'd started working on this skill. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. He said, I think we can build something. And it just all started from there. But what we've had to do, it's always been in our mind to get it done. But because of COVID-19 as well, in the last couple of weeks, Peter's really ramped it up. And we've launched it a lot sooner than we were going to. So in response to COVID-19, we've really got it going a lot earlier than it would have done.
Yeah, I mean, it seems very timely for that, but of course that wasn't the reason you developed it. It just happened to be that you can now have this, and it's almost the perfect time to launch something like this, where people are at home, they want access to information. I mean, we want it anyway as blind people. We want this to continue, and that's actually one of the great things about this. What you've developed here is something that is going to be around for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got longevity, and we want to keep it fresh. We're already looking at new ways of how we can improve it, or how we can add. Probably say improve, not improve, but how we can add additional features to it over time, rather than doing it all in one go. The one thing I'd say about this skill as well, Stephen, is we built it with our service users in mind. We built it with them, or they built it. So we held, lots of different focus groups across Lancashire and Sefton. And we said, look, if you could access information via, your Amazon Echo device about Galloway's and the talking newspapers, how would you want it to work? What would you say? What features would you like there? So we haven't just kind of gone and built this. We've had a lot of help from the community and our volunteers as well. It's been a huge team effort, really, to get it out.
Okay, so you want to get this skill. First of all, how do you enable it? How do you make it happen? And what can you ask Lady A?
Okay, to enable it, as you know, you can, within the Amazon app, you can go to the hamburger button with your, you know, with your screen reader or your voiceover, or use your Zoom. You can open the settings and you can go into the skills and games, and you can find our skill by searching for Galloway's, and it'll come up as Galloway's support through sight loss, and you can enable it. But I'm glad to say there's a much easier way of enabling it. Simply go to your Alexa enable device and just say, Alexa, enable Galloway's support through sight loss. And that's it. And the skill will be enabled, and you'll get some instructions of how to use the skill. And there is a help section that you can ask for again and again and again if you're wondering on how to use the skill. Simple commands when you're using the skills, such as Alexa, what talking newspapers are available. That will bring you up the whole list of talking newspapers. Alexa will read them all for you and then ask you which one you want. So it's very, very easy to use from the outset, really.
That is amazing. That sounds absolutely brilliant. This is something that I imagine lots of societies around the country are going to be thinking, I want one of those. You might have a business on your hands here.
No, I'm not sure about that. I think the one thing, I mean, that we hope that it makes, you know, like you say there, other organisations and charities, not just sight loss. I think, you know, in all, this can help people. This can help so many people out there. And, you know, we'd like to think that maybe people that maybe struggle to read, maybe people with a reading impairment might like to use our skill. So I think, yes, we built this primarily for people with sight loss, but I think it could have a much wider positive effect and make people think again on how we can use technology to help people out there. I think that's one of the key things from this. And if people take the idea and develop their own, I think that's fantastic. And that's what we want. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's the way the world wants. We want blind and partially sighted people to have all the best things available to them. I mean, if this makes all of our organisations do the same, we'd be over the moon about that. We don't want to be the only one, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. But you've done a great thing here. This is fantastic, Andrew. And, you know, the idea has been brilliant. And, you know, the fact that you've got together with volunteers to make it happen, just a great story. Andrew Coleman, thank you so much for coming on to tell us all about the Galloway Society skill. Search for it in the store, or you can enable it by reminding us again. What is it we say? We say Lady A, yeah. What?
Okay, so if you want to enable the skill, all you have to do is go to your Amazon Echo or any Alexa-enabled device and say, Alexa, enable Galloway's support through sight loss.
And you've set every single machine to do that right now that's listening to this. Absolutely brilliant. That was the plan all along, Andrew. Okay. Thanks so much for coming on.
No problem.
Really interesting to learn there about the skill from Galloway's. Thank you to Andrew Coleman for coming on and talking about that. So, I think we have probably set every single device in the country off with that one. But that was his plan. That was his plan. Yeah. So it's kind of worked itself out.
World domination. I should say, we must mention that TNA UK, the Talking Newspaper Association of the UK, also have an Echo skill called My Talking Newspaper. So you can say, "Hey, lady, open My Talking Newspaper." And the only, it's a fantastic skill, absolutely brilliant, but the only drawback at the moment is that it's slowly bringing all of the talking newspapers from around the UK into its database. So the first thing it'll do is ask you for where you are, and then it will give you ones in your area. And so far, the ones in my area are not anywhere near my area. So for whatever reason, it's slow in bringing those on board. So if you have a talking newspaper in your area, it may well not be on that skill yet. But absolutely, definitely look into that one as well. There's been a lot of work done on that one, and it's really, really good.
So tell us about J.K. Rowling, Robin. why are you so excited about Harry Potter?
Well, because it's Harry Potter, of course, and someone sitting not too far away from me, virtually anyway, hasn't read any of the books. Forget the films, you know, let's expunge those from history. So has absolutely
That's me, by the
no
way.
right to not be excited about this next item, because anyone that's read Harry Potter loves Harry Potter. It's just a fact. So the first book, obviously.
Sorry, hang on. So just let's bring Andy in
true.
On this.
No, it's true.
Because
no,
he might be the mediator.
No, it's true. No,
no. No, don't start your fake news over here. And Andrew, have you ever read any of these? I know I always call you this. I always get mixed, because I'm getting mixed up with you and Andrew Coleman.
That was Andrew Coleman. No, is the official line. No, I have not read
anything.
I have not watched. I have very little interest in Harry Potter.
Okay, homework. We could ask for feedback, but, you know, we just don't want to be inundated by a wave of love. Let's just take it as read that it's out there. We know that.
Robin, do you know what house you're in, Robin?
Well, I think I'd probably be Ravenclaw.
All right.
But,
okay.
I'm not brave enough for Gryffindor, and let's not go into the other two. So...
hang on, with Star Wars and now Harry Potter, I'm totally out of the loop.
That's all I know about Harry Potter is that you get...
Listen, I am the least culturally, person there is, but I have watched Star Wars, and anyone that listens to Radio 4 is probably aware of a show which is called I've Never Watched Star Wars, and that is that in itself. I mean, it's basically a show about... people that have never done something that absolutely everyone should have tried at least once. So that just tells you how culturally significant Star Wars is. And HP I would definitely put in that category as well. So, give it a go. Give it a go, and you've got
no excuse now. Now I get it, because when you said HP in the notes, I thought you were referring to Hewlett-Packard.
Yeah. Harry Potter.
Not the source either. No HP source.
Not the source. No. I know you think I'd probably go straight for the source.
No, hang on a second. I've got to get this joke right. I bought a bottle of sauce the other day, HP, 14p a week for 7 weeks. No? Okay, gloss over that one.
Stick
Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling obviously brought out 7 books. The first one, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. When it came to the US market, it was rebranded as Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, which caused quite a lot of confusion early on. But Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, in the UK, the audiobook is read by Stephen Fry. Absolutely brilliant. For anyone that hasn't read the books yet, and I'm probably only talking to Stephen and Andy here, the first book is written at a much lower, to a much younger audience. So don't be kind of fooled by the simplicity of the kind of writing style. They get darker as they go, but they're absolutely brilliant. So the first book... Because of the coronavirus, J.K. Rowling has made it available free of charge to listen to via your smart speaker in the US. So in the US, people will probably have only, if they've listened to the audio version, they'll have listened to the Jim Dale version, which is brilliant. Obviously, it's called Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone over there, but they now have the opportunity to listen to Stephen Fry, and he does such a brilliant job. So people can just ask for that. In the States, read Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, and it should do that free of charge for them for the foreseeable. And for everybody else in the world, there is a website. It's the Harry Potter Home Hub, and it's wizardingworld.com is the URL. And if you go there, then everybody else can listen to the audiobook free of charge by him as well, read by Stephen Fry. So anyone that hasn't listened to them yet and would like to get into, so that's why you've got no excuse, basically. I don't want to hear any excuses next week. I hope that you've got up to at least chapter 5, but if you've got to chapter 5, you'll have got to the end of the book by next week, because you'll be gripped. So,
I think I can still use the excuse I'm washing my hair. I think that's still acceptable, even in social isolation.
No, I've told you there's no excuses. So there will be no excuses. This time next week, guys, we will have Stephen's and maybe even Andy's verdict on what he thinks of HP. And there's enough humanity...
Terrible. Best book I've ever read.
...in him that he will love it. I know that for a fact. Well, no pressure. See what you think.
Listen, yeah. I passed my higher English on the basis of thinking I'd read Lord of the Rings. That's basically, and I did it. I have no idea how I passed my higher English because I never even read the book. But I managed to pass English on the basis of reading it, which was incredible when you think about it. Well, the 3 pages I read of it, yeah, it was brilliant. I like The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah, well, they're all, I mean, if people have listened to those audio books as well, they're read by the same chap, at least the ones I've got.
What was it? It was a, I got a 10 cassette tape box of them, and I got bored because I kept having to turn the tape and change it. And I thought, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, no, I couldn't be bothered.
I think
I was very lazy
is more
school.
Accessible to a broader audience. There are fewer words, and you know it's very involved.
What are you trying to say, Robin?
I'm saying that you're up to
it. To say I'm thick.
You're up to the challenge. I think it's there is so much to Harry Potter that it's so compelling that I would just invite people that are feeling a bit kind of lukewarm about it or think it's absolutely not for them just to give it a go. Now, you know, now that we've had this opportunity.
You can kick back from J.K. Rowling on this. Is she dishing out some cash to you for this one?
Because no,
tech talk.
You're on your 8th minute of this. Right, look, let's talk about Google.
But you wish you hadn't thought it up now. Go on, yep, carry on.
I know, I wish I hadn't. But okay, so let's talk about Google because they are expanding this AI calling service. It's called Duplex to Australia, Canada, and the UK, which is interesting. It's taken long enough to get here. This was a service which I must admit I was quite excited by when I heard about it. And forgive me if I'm wrong here, Robin. This is the one where essentially as a call is coming into your phone, you can have an artificial assistant actually answer the call for you.
Other way around.
And even in some cases make calls for you.
Yeah. As far as I know, it's the making calls bit, but I could not be up to speed on this one. But yeah, a couple of years ago at Google I.O., they did a demo, which was really good, where they got the assistant. They asked the assistant to call a restaurant and make a booking for 7 p.m. for 4 people. And then they played the recording of the thing. And it was brilliant. It was a natural sounding lady. She would say, sometimes. And they explained afterwards that is when it has to kind of access the servers in the cloud and have a little think, which was kind of cute. But the chap on the other end evidently didn't realise that he wasn't talking to a human and the whole transaction went through. Now, obviously, they're going to pick a demo there that worked rather than fails that they're not going to sort of play in public. But there was a massive backlash after that this is there are privacy concerns here. You know, you can't call somebody with a robot and not tell them. So they added various things to say, you know, this is the Google Assistant calling on behalf of so-and-so. So that's all implemented. And they've obviously been improving it, sort of banging on it to make sure that it's robust enough to be now rolled out into other countries that you've mentioned there as well. So when I read the story, I installed the Google app on my phone, which the voice search bit is also the Google Assistant. As far as I'm aware, there's not a special Google Assistant app unless I'm so daft that I'm missing something. But I stopped short of asking her to call someone because I thought, okay, who am I going to call? And, you know, what? I don't need to make a reservation. Obviously, I can't in these times. So I haven't actually tested it myself. But if people want to give it a go and feed us back, have you tried it?
No, I haven't tried it yet. No, but I don't really have I don't use Google Assistant for very much at all.
No, me neither. I haven't got a Google Home or anything. That's just why I had to install the app on my phone. But I believe it's available to us as well. I don't think it's just limited to a Pixel phone, for example.
No.
But yeah.
Andy can testify to this because he's got
an Android phone. Yes, so I will try it and report back to you next week. See how it goes.
Perfect.
It was the best thing ever. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those two.
One of those two, yeah. And not
it's
just
definitely going to be one of those two.
Yeah. Same with Harry Potter.
In between. No, it's Harry Potter won't be in between.
It's my fatalistic approach to things. But yeah, so...
I've got a feeling any reaction of Stephen's to Harry Potter, if he does listen to it, won't be in between. It'll be one or the other.
No, I can guarantee you at this stage he won't listen to it.
Boo!
Andy knows me so well.
Yes, all
Listen, I haven't read the notes for today's show, so there's no chance of reading Harry Potter before next week, right? I mean, just come off a bank holiday, give me a break. So let's talk about drone deliveries.
Staying with Google.
Yeah, staying with Google on this one. And this is interesting because I thought drone deliveries were still this kind of far off in the future type thing, especially here in the UK. It seems to be elsewhere in the world that's not the case. In fact, in some cases, they're booming.
Yeah, so this is called Wing, and Alphabet, which is Google's parent company, have loads of different companies within them that are doing things like driverless vehicles, etc. And this is drone delivery, and it's called Wing. And they have been testing this in several locations in the States. And they also now do it in Finland and Australia. And those areas have seen that those kind of test areas, it's still obviously not kind of a fully rolled out commercial service.
Right, so this isn't available yet. You can't get a washing machine delivered by drone at this point in time.
Potentially. I don't know about a washing machine, but if you are in Finland, I don't know which parts of Finland or Australia, or Virginia, which is obviously a state in the US, then you are probably having stuff delivered. So in the last couple of weeks, as of the time of writing of the article, Bloomberg piece, the number of drone deliveries have doubled. So they did 1,000 in the last 2 weeks in those locations where this is, you know, being tested and really kind of getting the kinks knocked out, because I'm sure that Amazon will want to do this more thoroughly. You can imagine these, everyone knows about Amazon and how you get a sort of a slot. It's saying, okay, it's now left the depot. Okay, you'll now receive it. It's 8 away from delivering to you now. It'll come between 1:12 and 2:12 p.m. or something. You could imagine a van going to within kind of a, well, going to a town maybe, and then opening up its roof and all of these drones flying out and doing all the deliveries simultaneously and then kind of coming back to base. That would be so cool. So 1,000 deliveries in the last 2 weeks is a 100% increase. And the piece hasn't kind of flagged that there were kind of any major issues, like having washing machines dropped on the dog in the garden or anything. It looks like it's a really viable option. And obviously, in these times, it's probably a safer option not to have a human involved in that last. I mean, everyone's familiar with them now leaving it on the doorstep and not even ringing your bell or anything, just kind of your app telling you, yeah, it's been delivered, and then you have to go out and look for it.
How does this work for Andy? Because he lives in a flat, 15 flights up. How does he survive that one?
Is the drone going to come crashing through my living room window?
Yeah, just open the window. Yeah,
I mean, I do have
you can open the window for Andy. I mean, it doesn't have to crash through it.
I do have a communal garden.
You knock on the window with this little robot arm.
Yeah, donk, yeah. Donk, donk.
With his head.
I do have a communal garden, but the problem is it's where the bin storage is as well. So if the drone goes off, so it's going to end up in a bin. And then I'd have to fight through 8 other neighbours to get my parcel. So you wouldn't want anything expensive to be delivered.
I think
there's so much talk at the moment about what the world will be like when we return to whatever normality looks like. And I think this kind of technology is going to be at the heart of what the new world will look like, because there is a question mark over at this point in time how many of our delivery drivers. There was a story I was reading yesterday about a guy who was, and I won't talk about what he was specifically mentioning people were buying on Amazon, but they were buying things on Amazon that, let's just say, were not classed as essential items. And he was saying, why are we in a position where we are being asked to go into a warehouse, be close to this virus, having to work together in, unsafe conditions in order to get people these unnecessary items? And if you had robots doing all that, then, well, the robots don't care. They're not going to catch the virus. They just got on with it, at least not that virus. So, it is maybe time we started thinking about this. But of course, the problem with all of that is that means people lose jobs. So that's the other side of it.
There is an ethical angle to this,
really,
obviously. If people are wondering what sort of things are being delivered, it mentions baby food and toilet paper and that sort of thing. So
get up and running now.
Not hugely heavy. But also, I think because it's it potentially it could be more accurate in its delivery time. So Andy wouldn't necessarily have to wait outside for that hour window that we've currently always been given. You know, it might be on its way and it says, I'm, you know, flight time, ETA, 8 minutes. So you could nip down, it could just drop it straight into your hands.
I can see this working for medicine and prescriptions as well, especially Absolutely. If people are in a remote area. And that's probably quite apt at this time as well with what's going on. So, yeah, well, there's things, smaller things that can be delivered. I'm really interested to see this washing machine be delivered to Stevens. I want to see the size of the drone that's delivering the dishwasher.
I don't need a washing machine, but I just want to see if it can be delivered. I mean, obviously, immediately I'll get it sent back. So, you know, I can get arrival and departure with it. But, you know, I kind of like that. I think it sounds quite cool. Anyway, shall we talk about microwaves? Because I'm a big fan of the microwave. It's the only device in the kitchen that I can cook with. But, you know, it's not the most accessible. I do have one which is accessible. It's a Cobalt talking microwave. It is the standard issue. I always feel it's like some kind of government-issued device. It's like the green goddess of microwaves. Because, you know, it's so kind of big and bulky. But at the same token, really, really functional as well. And it's great. But unfortunately, I'd, you know, quite like to buy something fairly normal, fairly mainstream. And there isn't a lot out there. Until, of course, Amazon came up with their version of a microwave, which is controlled by Lady A. And our contributor, Randy Rusnak, has decided to give it a test run. Now, I should say, just before we say it, before we play this is only available in the States at the moment. So don't go and Google it or Amazon it. You're not going to get it at the moment. It's only available in the States. But here is what will hopefully be coming soon. Cue loud music.
Here's my findings on the Amazon oven and how the setup goes. When I purchased the oven on the product page of the Amazon Smart Oven, there's a checkbox, and that's already checked, saying link this device first before you get the oven. It was already checked, so I said, yep, just do whatever it is you're going to do. I need all the help I can get. When the oven arrived, and once I got the oven up onto the microwave tray above our cupboard, then I plugged it in, and the oven beeped, and then a tritone went off on the phone, and it said, oven has been detected. I went, man, it can't be that easy, is it? I went through the application for the smart oven, looked, and all the settings were set up. It ran perfectly. I didn't have to set it up with anything. It was already linked to the A-Lady. The oven itself has no built-in A-Lady. It comes with an Echo Dot. I'm going to make some garlic bread in the oven because I am having split pea and ham soup, and I like garlic bread on the side. Garlic bread will be cooked in the Amazon Smart Oven, and the pea soup will be cooked on top of the stove. All right, so I'm coming in now, and I'm going to start the oven. The first thing that I always do is I always have to check to make sure there's nothing in the oven, because these ovens can get really hot. All right, there's nothing in there. And I simply say, Amazon, preheat oven to 400.
Preheating first up to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Press start on your first oven to begin.
Okay, so which means that I have to press start, which is in the lower right-hand corner. I'll press it now. So, I'm going to grab the rack. Okay, and I split the loaf in half. And then I place it on the cookie sheet on the rack. Half of the garlic bread back into the bag and seal it up. Put it in the freezer and have some spaghetti at some point. All right. I wonder what the oven temperature is up to now. Let's find out. Here's a cool little feature. Amazon, what is the oven temperature?
It's at temperature 42 degrees Fahrenheit.
All right, I'm going to let you hear the oven a little bit. What kind of noise it is. See, it's fairly quiet, but it's got a heck of a fan in it for convection cooking. I would say it probably takes about 10 minutes to heat up to 400 degrees. I love the way that you can hear as the temperature rises. What I'm going to do is
give the garlic bread about, 10 minutes or so. And I time the bread and look at it. What is the oven temperature?
It's at 400 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, yeah, stand by. Listen.
Your oven is preheated.
Okay, it's preheated.
I go over to the rack with the round pan on it, open the door, and slide it in. Ooh, that is hot.
And it's centered. I close the oven. Now it won't start until I hit the start button. And we're off and running. Stop the oven.
Okay.
Oh man. Wow, it looks perfect.
So there you go. It's actually more of an oven than a microwave, by what I'm hearing there.
So it's a multi-purpose, four different, can't remember what the other two are, but there's an oven there, that's the bit he was using, is a microwave obviously as well. So there's a couple of things I want to mention here. There is a control panel on it, and the start button is probably the only one you need to know. But one of the other options, he mentioned tick box on the website when you're buying it for it to be set up, and that will automatically link it with the dot that it comes with, so you get a free dot as well. And it's about $250, so let's hope it'll be a similar price over here, if not less, because obviously dollar to pound is, you know, but that's usually what it is, isn't it? It comes with another option for a Braille overlay. Yes, it does. So you get a Braille overlay if you request that too, and that will label the different buttons on that touch interface. But really the only one you need to use is the start button, as he was using there. And the other thing I want to mention, it has a button on it that if you don't want to say the A-lady's name into the room to ask her to do things, then you can trigger her to listen remotely via a button on the microwave. So you press that and then the dot nearby will perk up and start listening. If you want to do that, you actually have to do an extra step. So you have to link it up. It's in effect one of these buttons that you can buy to press that will make the A-lady wake up. So that bit isn't set up, and that's an extra step, but you can just do that via the app as well. So I thought I'd mention that in case people write in and say, well, it's not fully set up when you get it. There is that extra step too. But I love this. I can't wait for it to come over here. It's the same price as the Cobalt talking microwave. And obviously it's, you know, multifunctional. It's a full oven as well.
Yeah, I had a play with this at CES this year, and it was a really nice microwave in the sense of it was a nice size, it was well built, felt, you know, quite strong, a bit like the Cobalt actually, because one thing about the Cobalt is it's like a tank, you know, and so is this. It's I would say it's a little bit smaller than the Cobalt, but it does have a lot more function to it, although in saying that, my Cobalt oven or microwave does have the oven in it as well. It's just obviously a different method of operation. It's all done through buttons and audible feedback. I do really like this. I would definitely buy one of these. I think the price point's a little bit high, but I know you're getting a lot for your money. It just feels like, I remember my mother, when I was growing up, spending £300 on our first microwave that was the size of the house. And, you know, it was ridiculous. Whereas you would expect to pay between maybe £50 and £100 for a decent microwave now.
Yes.
I'm wrong, but...
Yes, you know, absolutely.
I feel the price point's a bit high, but you do get a lot for your money, you do get a mainstream product, and it does work with just your voice, which does seem nice, and you get a lot of feedback from it, a lot of sensible feedback, which I think a lot of us are looking for. And I think the next step here, Robin, is that we get this kind of technology in washing machines, dishwashers, dryers, you know, the white goods of the house that we just, you know, at the moment, a lot of us can't access.
I would love to know if any of those other white goods do have Amazon or Echo, you know, enabled capabilities. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I just haven't looked. But yeah, it'll come.
Well, I know Bosch have done a lot of work with their app to make it accessible. Yep. And there are some things you can do with these devices, but it's often very basic stuff like start and stop, or, you know, I think even knowing what the time of the set, you know, what's left on the display or whatever. You know, that's good to know. But if you can't set it in the first place,
and these smart appliances, the app itself may not be accessible. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, interesting. But look, just before we go, just one more story that I want to pick up on. And this gets back to our old friend Apple. No sign of an iPhone SE yet.
Well,
who knows?
I reckon.
You thinking it's this week?
Yeah.
What, Friday?
I think so. I think it'll be this week. Certainly April. But, yeah, my wife's 6S home button died yesterday.
Oh,
and we turned on assisted touch, and now she's got a little button in the bottom corner that she can use instead. Oh. So, yeah, it's about time.
Well, I just want to mention a story because I was reading this story online through the week, and you put it in the notes for this week as well. It's about this new patent, apparently, which will help devices describe objects and scenes and people and all of that. Tell us about this, because interestingly, I read it as this was some kind of upgrade to the camera app. But of course, the camera app can do a lot of things like guide you to take pictures and tell you even who's in the picture if you've got that information in the phone.
Yeah, so I'm not clear. I haven't read the full patent, I must say, but it's not clear whether this is something that could be added in a software in existing devices or whether it would need the new LiDAR capability that the new iPads Pro have. Which map the 3D environment only to, I think, 5 feet, a distance of 5 feet, or is it 5 meters? Can't remember at the moment. But, so, you know, not as far away as we would need to be able to get really accurate mapping of objects around us. But it certainly uses the camera and AI to, for those who have used Seeing AI's Scene Preview channel, and it's called Preview because it's kind of beta. You point it at something, take a snap, and it'll try and describe what's in the image. And we've done a demo in the past where you can roam your finger around that image and you can roughly get an idea of where the different items are. I think that's really cool. But this would be like that on steroids. So it would, you point your camera real time at something and it'll describe in a very smart way everything that is of relevance and where it is and, you know, what's going on, kind of thing. So patents often are vaporware. They never materialize, but often they are the prelude to something very cool that actually does materialize within, you know, a couple of generations of the new devices. So I don't know. Are you excited?
No, I am. I think this is a great idea. And I think anything that gives us more information about our surroundings is good. I kind of read it originally as it was a camera development, but thankfully not. This looks like something that is going to be built in and will have an impact, I guess, on everybody, which again is the key. Look, we're out of time. That's it for our show. Andy, we didn't get to emails this week, unfortunately, but we are going to get to them next week. It's partly driven to the fact that we had the bank holiday weekend and we're just getting back into things today. So thank you so much for being with us again. Robin and Andy, take care of yourselves. Stay safe.
Thanks, guys.
Chat soon.
And keep in touch. Email techtalk@rnib.org.uk.